Hello, everybody. This is Pastor AJ coming to you again from South Granville Church. I hope that you and your family are well, that your summer is off to a good start. And I want to say thank you for joining us for another podcast devotional this week. So today we're going to continue looking at Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit that he gives in chapter 5. And if you weren't with us last week or if you just forgot, very quickly, this list is a set of traits or virtues that are supposed to grow within us as we walk with Jesus. As we spend time with the Spirit, we are becoming more and more like Christ. And these are some of the tangible, practical ways that we put Jesus's character on display in our own lives and in the context of our own relationships. So here's that list again, just to jog your memory. Paul says in verse 22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the ways that we put Christ on display for others. So today, we're starting with the first one on the list, which is love. And this is an interesting one for us to consider as English speakers. Because in our language, in English, we use the same word to describe a number of different feelings and emotions that we experience in different situations. So maybe you've heard someone point this out before, but in English, we're using the word love to describe how we feel about our own parents, about our spouse, and about a band that we like or a piece of pizza that we're enjoying. I love my dad, and I love my wife, and I love the Green Bay Packers, and I mean that word in very different ways depending on which object I'm talking about. And so in the Greek language, there are actually a number of different words to describe different forms of love. Eros is the word that describes romantic love between spouses. The word phileo is more of a brotherly kind of love, a love between friends or siblings. And then in this passage, Paul is using the Greek word agape. And agape is really a way of expressing unconditional or chosen love. This is the word that reflects Jesus' use of the word love and the concept of love that's found in the Old Testament. And so what that means for us is that agape love is expressed most clearly in God's relationship with his people, and that's especially true when we look at Christ. When we look at the way Christ interacted with others, and when we look at his passion, his death, and his resurrection, we are given a picture of agape love. And so to help us get our minds around this term, there are a number of passages from the New Testament we could look at. But I want to share one that we read several weeks ago in our Philippians series, because I think it captures the essence of what agape is really well. This is in Philippians chapter 2. Paul is describing Christ's humility, and he's encouraging the church to have the same attitude towards one another that Jesus had to them. And this is what he says. He says, in your relationships with each other, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul says, if we want to know what love looks like, if we want to see the example of how we're supposed to treat one another, we just need to look at Jesus and to think about what he did for us, that even while we were sinners, before we ever deserved it, Christ came to earth and gave his life so that we could have life. Jesus came and taught to crowds that he knew would reject him. Jesus washed the feet of Judas, who he knew would betray him. Jesus forgave the Roman soldiers who put him on the cross with his dying breaths. And so if we want to know how to put love, agape love, into action, we look to Jesus. We look at the example that he set through his death and resurrection, and we are both inspired and, I think, challenged to love people in a way that goes beyond what comes naturally to us and certainly beyond what they deserve. Agape love, this fruit of the Spirit that Paul is describing is about making the choice to do what is in someone else's best interest. It is about making the choice to show as much kindness and generosity and hospitality and forgiveness towards another person as we possibly can. Now, I don't know about you, but this feels like a virtue that our world desperately needs more of. I think for all the turmoil and the difficulty of this current cultural moment, there is an opportunity for the church right now. Because in a world where there's so much hostility towards people on the other side of the aisle, when people are so critical and judgmental, when you see the things people post on social media, when you think about the ways we speak about the other, there is an opportunity, I think, for the church. Because if you and I can grow in our ability to put agape love on display, if we can learn how to love our enemies, if we can be kind and generous towards people who don't always deserve it, that's going to stand out. That's going to surprise people and get their attention. And I think something as simple as making the choice not to lash out or not to say the meanest, snarkiest thing that we can, that's going to get people's attention because it's going to make us stand out in a world that is so divisive and angry with one another. So I was thinking about this fruit of the Spirit, and I wanted to share one other writing with you before we go into our prayer exercise. One of the documents that we use in our church is called the Heidelberg Catechism. This is this teaching document that came out of the Reformation, and it's used to help explain these different aspects of our faith. And there's a passage in the Catechism where the author walks through the Ten Commandments, and he does this really interesting thing. Not only does each commandment have a prohibition or a negative aspect to it, so you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not have an idol. But then on the flip side, there's also a positive dimension to obeying the command. And so in the sixth commandment, God says that we are called not to murder one another. And the catechism says this, that means I am not to belittle, hate, insult, or kill my neighbor, not by my thoughts, my words, my look, or my gesture, and certainly not by my actual deeds. And I am not to be party to this in others, rather I am to put away all desire for revenge. So this is that first kind of negative part. This is the thing that we don't do. But then, if you skip down to question and answer 107, there is a positive aspect to the commandment where there's things that we should be doing, things that we should be pursuing, that if we are told not to kill, then the implication is that we need to promote life in all of its forms. We need to show agape love to any and every person who comes across our path. So question and answer 107 says, by condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly towards them, to protect them from harm as much as we can and do good even to our enemies. It's not enough to simply not actively hurt others. We are being called to be proactive, to choose to love people, even and maybe especially when they don't deserve it. Now, remember, this is listed as a fruit of the Spirit. This is not something you and I are going to be able to will ourselves to do on our own. We can't make ourselves be more loving. We can't just automatically forgive somebody or be nice to them when they have really hurt us. Instead, this is something that comes out of our relationship with God. As you and I walk with the Spirit, Jesus is at work in us, refining our character and making us more and more like Him. So in the spirit of that, I want to invite us to do a short prayer exercise this morning, because we can't force ourselves to love others, but we can ask God for the tools and the power that we need in order to demonstrate this kind of agape love and make the choice to do what is right and to love people even when that's really hard for us. So I'm not sure where you are right now as you're listening to this, but if it's possible, I want to invite you to stop what you're doing and to close your eyes. I want to invite you to take a deep breath. And we are going to invite God into this place, wherever we are, and we're going to ask Him to give us love for someone in our life that we have a very hard time choosing to love. So I want you to start by picturing somebody that is really difficult for you to show agape love towards. Maybe that's somebody who really wounded you in the past. Maybe that's someone that you're still working through anger and bitterness because of something that they did. Maybe that's someone that you're currently experiencing a lot of conflict with, somebody that you've been quarantined with, somebody in your workplace that you don't agree with. Maybe there's just somebody in your family or your friend group that you're having a really hard time with right now. Maybe it's a person who annoys you because they are so different than you or because they don't seem to pick up on social cues the right way, but you just have such a hard time being in the same room as them. Or maybe it's someone who is different than you, somebody whose race or religion is different than you, somebody who scares you because of their lifestyle or the things that they're involved with, someone who is hard for you to love because you don't understand or you don't agree with some of the choices that they are making. Now, I want you to picture that person in your mind. What is it that makes that person so hard for you to love? What is the barrier between you making the choice to love them? Now, I want you to think for a moment about how God sees that person. Who is that person and what is their spiritual state at the moment? Are they, like you, a child of God, holy and dearly loved by Him? Are they somebody who knows the truth or grew up in faith but now has kind of wandered away? Are they someone who has never known the Lord and God sees them as His created being and He is extending a hand to them, desiring to be in relationship with them if only they will accept it? How do you think God sees that person? What is God's response to those things that challenge you? Those things that annoy you, those things that make it so hard for you to love them. How does God feel about that person? I want to invite you to spend a moment asking God to help you see that person the way that He does, to be filled with compassion for them, and to grow in your desire to see them walk in step with the Holy Spirit as well. Take a few minutes now to pray and invite God to give you love for them and help you see them the way that He sees them. Okay, so now that we've done that, the next question is to ask what it's going to be like for you to make a choice to love them. And I want you to respect where you are and where your relationship is at with this person. We're not going to cross the entire bridge in one step. But is there a small thing, a small step that you can take in order to grow in your capacity to love that person and begin showing them the same agape love that Jesus has shown to you? What would that look like? Maybe, honestly, for you, that step would be hating them a little bit less. Maybe it would be letting go of a desire for their life to fall apart or for them to be unsuccessful. It might be that you are so broken or so hurt because of something that they've done that the very best thing you can do is simply stop wishing for the worst for them. If that's where you're at, that's okay. Maybe that is a good and important step for you to take. maybe there is some way that God is inviting you to be praying for them. Maybe you're not ready to talk with them or trying to reconcile things, but maybe you can begin to pray for them, to pray that they too would have a strong relationship with God, to pray that they would have wisdom and insight, that they also would be filled with love and led by the Spirit. Maybe you're not ready to engage, but you can invite God to be at work in their life and bless them according to His perfect will. Maybe one way that you can love them is to start holding your tongue around them. Maybe this person is somebody who is often critical of you, somebody who is experiencing a lot of conflict with you, somebody whose words are frequently sharp and hurtful. Maybe the best thing you can do right now is to simply guard your own tongue. Maybe it's about not retaliating or simply staying quiet when everything in you wants to lash out. Again, we're talking about small steps here. It doesn't have to be big, but maybe for you, the best way you can choose to show love to that person is to simply stay quiet when you're tempted to do otherwise. Or perhaps there's some way that God wants to see you bless this person in one way or another. Maybe there's an act of service that God is inviting you to do for them, even though you know that they don't deserve it. Maybe it's about offering an apology, even though, truthfully, this conflict is 10% your fault and 90% their fault. Maybe God is inviting you to start the reconciliation process by owning your 10% and choosing to show love, again, even though they don't deserve it. Maybe there is an encouraging word that you want to share with them. Maybe there is some way that you can go out of your way to bless their family. Whatever it may be, what does it look like for you to take that next step, to choose to love this person? You know they don't deserve it, but that's exactly the point. How can you grow in this capacity to show agape love to the people God has placed in your life? Take a couple of minutes now to think and pray about what God may be asking you to do. As we close our time together, I'd like to offer a prayer for you. And I want to remind you that we're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is not something you're going to manufacture on your own power. Instead, we are inviting God into our hearts and asking Him to fill us with Christ's power and give us love beyond what we naturally possess. So my hope and prayer for you is that you will not feel discouraged, but that you will feel empowered, that you will sense the Spirit's presence at work in your life, and that He will give you power to love others the way Jesus has loved you. Let's pray together. God, we are thankful that love is a fruit of the Spirit. In a world where there's so much hostility and division, Father, we ask that you would help us to put agape love on display, that we would forgive our enemies, that we would bless those who persecute us, that we would not allow division to separate us from our brothers and sisters in Christ, but that we would show love beyond understanding and beyond what people deserve. God, we are inviting you into our hearts this week. We pray that you will give us the love that we don't possess, give us the strength to make the choice to show love and kindness, mercy, and generosity. Give us wisdom about how best to do that. Protect us from situations where we may be unnecessarily hurt, but help us, Lord, to wish and hope for the best for those in our lives. Help us to pray for your will to be done, even for those who drive us crazy. And Lord, in all things, we remember that we were once your enemies, that we were alienated and estranged from you, and yet in spite of our sin, you sent Jesus into the world to love us and die for us and make new life possible. Help us to see others the way that you see them. And it's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Well, friends, that's it for this week. I want to say thank you for listening. If you have questions or comments or something that you'd want to process, please feel free to reach out to me, PastorAJ@SouthGranvilleChurch.org, or you can call the office during the week. I also want to say that if you have appreciated these podcasts, please feel welcome to share them on your social media or to send it to a friend or a relative. Our hope is that this can be a tool to help lead others to the gospel and help them experience the same gracious and undeserved love from God that we have. So that's it for this week. We'll see you next time.